Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Becky. I am the host of Becky Book Club. I am part of the NFPC Network Talk Live Radio Show. I am one of the longest running shows on this network, and I am very proud of that fact that I am in for the long haul, still hanging in. And my listeners and followers, but first and foremost, I'm thankful to God for the opportunity, for each and every way that support is given to me. I am pleased to usher my listeners into the next phase of my show, one fantastic episode at a time. The creative force behind the book club continues to enjoy her little piece of heaven right here on earth. Psalms 91:14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I invite you to come and be a part of Becky Book Club by dialing into the studio at 347-205-9535 at 11 o'clock a.m. p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. An avid reader has found her heaven on earth as she shares her love for the written word with her audience. Come, catch the blaze of Becky Book Amelia Book Club. And now, tonight's episode is entitled The Anatomy of an Idea. The Anatomy of an Idea. When William Wolfe's article on concept therapy appeared in the National Magazine, an unprecedented flood of interest began. Both Mr. Wolfe and the magazine were deluged with letters for nearly a year. The questions the writers asked were quite simple. Is it possible to heal the body or mind with an idea? Is there something beyond blind faith in concept therapy? What is concept therapy that it should succeed where doctors have failed? These questions and more are raised and answered in this fascinating book until there is revealed a clear, straightforward approach to life that may change your entire future by erasing a past of misery and futility and opening up a new visit of hope and promise. You know, before I go any further with the anatomy of an idea, I will attest to the fact that sometimes ignorance is bliss, and I'll leave it at that. No army can withstand the strength of an idea whose time has come, wrote Victor Hugo. Proof of this statement is clearly seen in the world-shaping event in Russia within the last half century. Several years ago, I heard a most interesting talk by Dr. Robert Fuchs, Director of Foreign Policy Research for the University of Pennsylvania, speaking before college facilities, faculties, and students throughout the U.S. He has skillfully focused attention on a major truism. America's principal opponents, the Soviet communists, have one specific asset on their side. It's a secret weapon which we do not possess. This secret weapon is their ability to take ideas seriously. Now, imagine here, if you will, that a weapon can be formed by one nation against another nation, and it is something as simple as taking an idea seriously. I mean, seriously? Dr. Hugh is quick to remind us that less than 50 years ago, the communist empire measured 2 feet, the diameter of a coffee house table in Zurich, where Lenin sat as he edited his newspaper, his clandestine newspaper. The weapon with which he defeated a mighty nation's army was nothing more than a pen. Imagine. I don't know how many of you remember the story that I shared some time ago about a young man who went into a freezer to get food from a stand-up freezer, one of those huge ones like they use at stores and packing houses and the like. And he walked into this freezer not knowing that the freezer door was broken, and so he was not really locked in. And even more, the freezer was broken, so it never reached those below zero temperatures or whatever that is necessary to freeze something. But in his mind, the idea in his mind was that he was locked in a freezer, because he ended up getting locked in a freezer in his mind. And he realized in his mind that he was locked in a freezer, something that kept meat frozen at a certain temperature, that kept it fresh. And for a human body, that meant freezing to death. And so in his mind, because this was his ideology, he froze to death. But the sad part of that story is that that freezer didn't get to that temperature that it was necessary to keep the meat frozen or to freeze the body to death, because the freezer was broken. But yet, because of the idea that that freezer was working properly, he froze to death because of the very idea. And, you know, for the story tonight, the anatomy of an idea, to think that a nation can conquer or defeat another nation just by an idea, taking an idea serious. Imagine what would happen if a person got an idea, whatever the idea was, and they became serious about it. You know, for example, having a book club, you know, being serious about that idea, the sky's the limit. And that's any other idea that is formulated in one's mind. Now, using Lenin's idea, a handful of men went on to dominate virtually all of Asia and Europe, with the exception of a narrow rim of Western Europe and Southern Asia. 1,100 million people are enslaved because of the power in just one man's idea. Yes, it is obvious that the Soviet communists do take ideas seriously. But the question tonight is, do you? Those of you who are listening in the audience, do you take ideas serious? Are you serious? Ideas and the immense power they wield shape our everyday life and redirect our future. They are fascinated. They have fascinated me ever since I first became aware that mere notions and fanciful thoughts could be a causative factor responsible for bringing about conditions I previously wrote of to chance. If ideas were the stuff of which worlds are created or destroyed, if a mental impression could be the lever to lift one to the summit or plunge one to the depth, then I was determined to understand why as thoroughly as possible. A search began that to this day has not ended. And as we all know, who have spent any time with the book club, and I'm sure there are some of you asking right now in your mind, well, when is there going to be a guest author on the show? You know, I'm listening to her every time I tune in, and I would like to hear someone else. Well, as soon as that is all worked out, you know, timing is everything. And I wish I had control over timing, but unfortunately I don't. As soon as everything is gelled and worked out, there will be other people here, because I have quite a few authors that I still owe a free interview before I start my other phase of Becky Book Club. With that being said, I too have this journey of really getting clarity about the depth and the height of an idea and being serious about it. You know, that's how the book club got started. The book club was just an idea that two ladies was talking about. And it was presented to me as basically just an idea at first for me to ponder, to think about. And I thought about it. You know, I was asked a question before the idea of the book club was even thought about. I was asked a question about what did I like. Well, I like to read. I always have. I like books. You know, books allow me to go to places away from my troubles, away from my sadness, away from stuff. You know what I mean? I have always been able to travel worldwide through books. And that's how this book club was birthed, from a question and then a short conversation. And from that short conversation, an idea was born. And from that idea, the birth of the book club came and still does exist. So, the writer of this book started a journey to find out some things about the power of ideas. And as this adventure began, it continues to this present vantage point. And the writer goes on to say that it was not a disappointment to him in the least. His greatest expectations were realized, and the light of truth, and even so dim in the beginning, became brighter with each morsel of knowledge gained. And isn't that kind of the way things work when it comes to an idea? Isn't that kind of the way it works? Because in the beginning, I guarantee you, any any concept, any precept, any idea, any plan that is devised, it started as an idea. You might be educated through some teaching, some training, some course, some classes, some school, you know, and once that idea is manifested through education, then you go through the process of working it out, step by step, mastering it. The technique that you've learned in the classroom, in the course room, in the book, online, however, you know, online or on the job training, however you get the initial aspect of that knowledge from that preconceived idea, then it's worked out and walked out through that doing, if you will, of that thing. And so this man, the author of this book, William Wolfe, said that he was never disappointed in his gathering of information to really get clarity in regard to how an idea can take you to a major accomplishment just by having an idea. There are lots of others who you will meet in this story, like Thurman Fleet, who is an unusual man, relatively unknown to the world at large, but destined, I believe, to become a legend in our time. The story of his unique life's work may forever affect our own daily pursuit and influence your thinking, as it has thousands of men and women throughout the United States and Canada. There are others, like Crump and Wright and Calhoun and Wittenberg and Higdon and a handful of others, whose true life dramas will leave an indelible impression on your thoughts and perhaps provide a beneficial stimulation, prompting you toward the height of self-fulfillment. Now, I'm sure there are those of you who might be listening, who have it all together, and there's no need for improvement because you're perfect just the way you are. I'm absolutely positive. There are some people in the world that are so together, for those who struggle and strive and try this and that and the other, you're a little bit annoying. But nevertheless, there are those others who still have not really found their way, who might be young, who might be older, and even a wee bit old, and all in between. And they're still trying to find their niche. They're still trying to find their place. They might have been doing something all of their lives and have mastered it, and for whatever reason, they found themselves misplaced in their way of making it happen for themselves financially. And so they're doing something different. And I say, attaboy, go to it. Don't let anyone discourage you with their naysaying attitudes. Don't let anyone discourage you. No matter how much someone doesn't believe in you, and your idea, and your attempt at doing something maybe totally out of the box, no matter if no one believes in you but you, believe in yourself, give yourself some attaboys and some attagirls, and keep at it. Because this book says that if you keep at it, if you are determined and believe in that idea and become serious about your idea, then the sky's the limit. You can only go up. Now, at this point, I must warn, however, admirable positive thinking is, I am referring to an aspect far beyond that rather limited single dimension of multifaceted scope, that is, mind power. There is no denying that a proper mental attitude is important, but it's my intention to illustrate how a person may believe he is thinking positively and still be negating any constructive thought energy by unconscious action. The analogy being taking one step forward and two steps backward. Been there, done that. Many a truth student has done just that and wondered why his affirmations for health or wealth did not materialize, no matter how positive his thinking was. I absolutely, totally agree with that. In the Bible, that is referred to as being lukewarm, wishy-washy, and all of that. You know, when you're positive and really thinking serious about things today, and something comes up, or maybe you've been praying about a thing, and you're believing for a thing, and the total opposite shows up, and you're like, well, maybe I didn't, you know, pray hard enough, or maybe I didn't believe hard enough, or maybe God is not hearing me, or, you know, something. And so you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I absolutely agree with that. If you're affirming a situation, if you're thinking it to be true, you know, if you're expecting health and wealth 1 minute, thinking positively, and then you're wavering back and forth, and you find yourself taking one step forward and two steps back, that's the reason why that's happening, because you're not staying constant in the faith. You're not staying constant in your truth. You're not staying constant in your affirmation. You're affirming one moment, and you're going totally the opposite the next. You're negating that affirmation by thinking negatively, by wavering in your truth, in your faith, in your belief, in your idea, in your seriousness. You know what I mean? These things happen. The difference between an hallucination and an image must be understood. Otherwise, the reader who attempts to heal and use the word is in the broadest sense with ideals will discover that he will instead be engaging only in pleasant daydreaming or escape excursions into flight of fancy. There's a vast difference indeed between imaging and hallucinating because we intend to act on the images. It is just this ignorance of basics that lead to failure when the novice attempts to work miracles by just good thinking. I agree with that. You know, imaging is just part of the process of good thinking and working miracles. Now, you know, for a person who doesn't even believe in miracles, you're probably more prone to the hallucinating and then the imaging. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, it's not written in stone. I can't be slain for my opinion because I'm entitled to my opinion. I'm, you know, in a free world, basically, for the most part, halfway, sort of. And I'm entitled to my opinion. And anybody who knows me knows I'm very opinionated. I got an opinion about most things. But the fact of the matter is, if you are using imaging as a basis for working miracles and you're back and forth, you know, you're in hallucination one moment and you're in imaging another moment, it's pretty difficult to make things happen the way you would desire them happen in a positive outcome. But I would just like to say that self-improvement and concept therapy is a good idea in the consciousness of man if he is able to be serious about what he's desiring and to stay constant in it. But if you're a person that doesn't believe in miracles, that don't believe in some other components of that whole process, then it might be darn near impossible for you to receive anything from said sources of that aspect of healing and miracles and the like. Last evening, I was speaking about the woman in Endor, and she spoke about she was a woman in the Bible who called up a ghost. She called up the ghost of Samuel. And for those who have any knowledge of certain areas of studies, you know that a ghost is an aberration, a spirit, and all of that is considered an aberration. But Saul, in that story, had an idea that because he had gotten himself in a place where he could not hear from God, he would go to a sorceress and have her to call up Samuel. Now, when Samuel, I don't know how many of you listeners tonight have any clue of the story of Saul and Samuel, but Samuel was a man who was really a God-led man, and he was trying to advise Saul because it was getting to be close to the time when Samuel was leaving here, and Saul was taking over what Samuel had left undone. And at that time, Saul didn't want to hear nothing from Samuel. He didn't want Samuel to advise him, but Samuel was advising him of the very thing that he had done at that time when he was having this witch to call up Saul was having this witch to call up Samuel. And he didn't want to listen to Samuel when Samuel was in life, but now he was in a place where he wasn't hearing from God because he had strayed away from God, and so he had gone to a witch and asked her to call up Samuel, and God had given her permission to call up this spirit, this aberration, and this aberration gave him some advice and told him what was getting ready to happen and what he needed to do. Now, for those who hear the word witch, sorceress, and all of that, and your ideology is there's no such thing, you know, that's just in your imagination, you're hallucinating, you know, all these various things, then it's not possible for you to even fathom such an idea because your ideology is that there's no such thing. Well, for someone like myself, I could totally get into that and receive that truth because I've had experience in that realm. And I know if certain people was in my presence right now, they would be looking at me like, I have three heads, or I've lost my mind. But all that leads back to what I started out talking about. When an idea is serious, you can receive a thing as truth, even though you might not have a clue about it. But if you have a seriousness about a thing and you've had any experience in that ramification, you know what you know. That's the bottom line. No one knows everything, but hopefully whatever you know, you know. And when you have an idea about a thing as truth and you're standing at truth, then it is possible for you to be serious about that idea and that truth, and it is possible but you get the positive results from that idea that you desire, no matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what anybody else tells you. And there are some groups that tell you that you have to figure things out and come to your own conclusions about a thing, and that is what therapy tells you, psychologists tell you, various religions tell you, and so forth and so on. So I encourage you, take what I said with a grain of salt, decipher it for yourself, come to your own conclusion. This is Becky. I hope I have said something to you tonight. And if nothing else, have given you something to ponder, something to think about. As I have begun to share from the anatomy of an idea. From the anatomy of an idea. Well, I will be right here tomorrow night, same time, same station. This is Becky. I am the host of Becky Book Club. Hope to see those of you who tune in nightly here. And for those of you who have probably been gone for a very long time because you figure I'm speaking rhetoric, not something that you're interested in, see you on the other side. Have a good night. As I said before, this is Becky. I'm the host of Becky Book Club. Thanks for tuning in. Good night, all.